With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Ben Parisi, welcome, man. Welcome to the Taz and the Moose Show. Appreciate you being here, bro.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I echo the sentiment, obviously.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
Thoughts and prayers of Moose and his family.
Yeah, it's horrible. So, you know, it's tough to transition out of that, AB and Vin, but we will. And we'll talk about just this tournament, the NCAA, Sweet 16, everything that's going on. Vin, I mean, have you seen a crazier, like, tournament? It's been great.
I'll tell you, this first round, this opening weekend is going to be one we talk about for a long time. And part of what makes the tournament great, and we come in here every single year, Bogue, and we always say, you know, those opening upsets, those double-digit seeds advancing, you know, whether you got your 12, your 13, your 14, we've seen in the last 7 or 8 years, an increase in 2 seeds and 3 seeds go down in the first few rounds. But this is going to be the year we talk about a decade from now, because it was the first 16 beating a 1. They dominated the overall team in college basketball. And then some of these other schools advancing. But I think what's more fascinating is how many 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds underachieved.
Yeah, they're gone.
After the last 4 months of basketball, they just, not to take anything away from the little guys, I love the mid-majors.
Right.
To me, it's fascinating how some of the big boys have collapsed.
I was saying yesterday, Vin, I don't know if you heard me, AB, but I was saying I just feel it's not just in college basketball, but in college sports, it's just so much more parity now. Like, you agree? I mean, like,
there is. And I'll tell you why. And it's parity, I think, for a little bit different of a reason. I thought that the parity 5, 6 years ago was teams like Gonzaga getting, or teams like Butler, you know, they were getting first-round NBA draft picks.
Right.
Now I think the little ingredient and factor is that the transfer situation. There's over 400 Division I transfers every year. So when these 12, 13, and 14 seeds come up, a lot of them have an ACC guy on the roster, a Big Ten guy on the roster.
The kid from Loyola was at Iowa State, which means he's got a legit resume.
He's got Nevada's team, Nevada, right? There's a bunch of transfers.
Exactly.
On that
They're not playing against 300 RPI, you know, schools their entire career.
Right.
Well, you make a good point, Vin, because you don't want to take away from the team that pulls off the upset and, like, diminish what they did. But sometimes it's about the other guy, too. I mean, with UMBC in Virginia, I sat in Brooklyn 2 weeks ago and watched Virginia go through the ACC again and make every single play that they had to beat Clemson, to win the title. And I remember in the Clemson game, I'm sitting across from the Clemson bench, and 5, 6 times in the second half, there was some momentum, and they're up and cheering. And then Guy would make a play, or Jerome would make a play, or Salt had some big hoops late, and they would just sit back down dejected.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's what Virginia does. And Cincinnati, you can't lose a 21-point
lead
with 10 minutes. That's, that's as much on them as it is on Nevada coming back. And I just wouldn't have seen either one of those schools laying such an egg so early on.
And that's a great point, AB. I'll tell you why, though. There's obviously the three-point shot changes things in the NCAA tournament. But the gray area of college basketball, to me, is what makes it so fascinating and so great. Like, think about Major League Baseball. You know who is better, either the pitcher on the mound or the batter in the plate.
In the box.
In the box. And you know the matchup, and you know who has the advantage in the matchup. With these college basketball tournaments, when you get into cities, you're flying in neutral courts, not home court like we saw in November, December, January, February. Styles, coaching game plans, and you know, you look at a Florida State Xavier game, for example. Trayvon Blewett's the best player on the floor. But the length bothered him.
Right.
And you see that so often, where the more talented guy, if he played this guy that's guarding him one-on-one, he'd win 85-10.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that away from the ball, you know, style sometimes, and it could throw a guy's game off for a whole half.
It's funny. You make an interesting point, too. We touched on a little bit yesterday about home court advantage. And look at, like, North Carolina, right? North Carolina, okay, they lose to Texas A&M in Charlotte.
Right.
How crazy right. is that? To me, that was nuts.
Well, I just traveled this past weekend, Taz, with SNY,
yeah.
and I followed the Seton Hall Pirates down.
Yeah.
We're in Wichita, Kansas. They get past NC State in the first round. We come out for the game Saturday night. Kevin Willard has his dad, Ralph Willard, his family, and about 25 to 40, I'd say, diehard Seton Hall fans that traveled down from New Jersey. The other 15,975 people in Wichita in Intrust Bank Arena with Jayhawk fans. It was like an NBA playoff road game atmosphere.
That's Vin Parisi of SNY and Fox Sports with us here on Taz and the Moose, all live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So as the dust settles and we go towards Thursday here, does the craziness keep going, or do you think now, like, kind of the slipper falls off and we go back to kind of the normal names winning and getting to the Final Four?
I think we go to the normal names, and I think we need to look at what floodgates have opened up. To me, two big floodgates have opened up. Villanova being seated up in Boston, the thousands upon thousands of Wildcat fans that are going to travel from Philadelphia up to Boston. And I think that has opened up now with the Isaac Haas injury for the Cats to advance. The other floodgate is that fascinating South.
Yeah.
And nobody had John Calipari's Wildcats going to the Final Four to start the tournament.
Young
Wildcats.
Yeah. I think Petey did, actually.
Petey did?
I think so.
Well, that's not surprising. You know, Petey's research is always at a high level this time of the year.
Superior.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's a scholar. You know how it is, Vin. That's Pete the body. He can't help himself. He's just talented.
But but you know what? Alexander, I mean, the way he played in this tournament, he's averaging like 23-7-6. He's not playing like a freshman. Calipari's gotten these kids to slow down and play more half-court basketball.
They're buying in. They're buying
on
in.
Both ends. Yeah. But, you know, they've also had some breaks there, I think, for them to advance.
Yeah, it's a good
idea. Well, and this, too, is the problem of the upset is Nevada, Loyola, Chicago is, in theory, it's awesome to see there, but this is also a business. Are people going to watch this game?
Well, to your point,
when they've got no name. Sister Jean is the most
Sister
famous
Jean,
person in this game.
We had her on yesterday, Sister Jean. She's a star, by the way.
Yeah.
She's a star. She's got a publicist now, everything. It's unbelievable. She's got a t-shirt line. No, I'm kidding. But she's huge.
She's going to.
Star. She's unbelievable. She's 98.
Hey, you have a publicist as a nun. That's tremendous.
It's God.
Isn't God, right? Yeah. God's the publicist.
But you know what? I think a lot of eyeballs watch AB, but just for a different reason. Like if we're watching Kentucky, Arizona advance because, oh, we want to see the Sean Miller. But now I think people, it's the intrigue, right? I mean, think about how many people tuned in to see if UMBC was really going to do it. I think the intrigue, you know, these two no-name schools who we weren't talking about a couple of weeks ago, not no-name, but you know, do they really advance, and are they able to pull it off?
Well, Chicago's the only one that made me look smart last weekend. I had them winning twice. That's everything else was in the crap.
Well, I had Michigan State win the whole thing, like everybody else, and I blew up. Obviously, my thing's busted. But the thing is, to back up a little bit on in your point, Vin. When these mid majors, these little engines that could, and they do, you know, like a UMBC, you know, knocking off while the world is watching, and the casual fan gets hooked while they beat the UVA. That's to me, when you see these mid-majors dominate these small programs, like a UMBC or Loyola Chicago, you now hook the casual sports fan, not just NCAA fan, the NCAA fan. You know?
And I think you've seen that the last few years by how many millions of people submit a bracket online, right? Yeah.
It's fun.
But, it's just if you have guard play and you're shooting the basketball from deep, you could say all you want about matchups. To me, I think the biggest mistake all of us talking heads and analysts make when we get to the second weekend in Sweet 16 and Elite Eight play is to dissect the games like we did in the opening round, to talk about who the leading scorer is, to talk about what they did in January and February. Nobody cares about a game on December 20th right now. It's about styles and substance and what you got. And when you look at Eric Musselman's team, when your team as a group is able to shoot over 40% from three-point land, that you have a chance to beat anybody on the floor.
If you were on the staff, Nevada, Loyola, Chicago, any of the teams that aren't supposed to be here and are here, would you want to be back on the court now, or do you like the 3 or 4 days to kind of decompress and reset things?
I think you like the 3 or 4 days to decompress. I think it's underrated, especially from the coaching staffs that I talk to, with just the adrenaline you know, coming down from the weekend. I mean, these guys, I'm sure, were exhausted when they finally got home late Sunday night into Monday morning. I guarantee you these guys did not practice yesterday. You got to get these guys' legs back a little bit.
And you got to be there today, right, if you're playing Thursday.
And then you got to get right back on the road, exactly. So I think now
it's
this time,
grind, man.
It's more about walkthrough, right? Yeah. You know, knowing your matchups and letting these guys play loose. You got to play at this point. You can't change who you are.
What are you coaching at this point, right? What are you doing? To your point, Vin, you got to just let them flow. That's any sport too, right? But especially with basketball, it is such a grind. These kids are, you know, it's nonstop. And the travel, yeah, they travel a lot during the year, during the regular season, not to this level, you know, with the tournament. So it's what one stood out to you the most? Like, what was it? Was it the UMBC Virginia? Was that the shocker? Like, what was the shock at all moment for you, Vin?
Yeah, I don't want to take away from the buzz of Sister Jean and all the great storylines we have going. No, because we do have great storylines coming in. I'll tell you what, from the round of 32, the thing that amazed me, I thought Mick Cronin and Cincinnati Bearcats were one of the best defensive teams I saw the whole year. For Nevada to only have two turnovers in 40 minutes of basketball, to me, is just remarkable what the guards have done. But I still can't get past the UMBC win. Think about this. This team did not win the America East. Right. Granted, they were the 2 seed. They knocked off Vermont in a good game. Virginia held 13 opponents this year to 53 or less
defense
points.
Is legit.
UMBC scored 53 points in the second half.
Good God.
I mean,
it's just a beating.
I know. Listen, neutral court, could you have a cold shooting day? Yes. Yeah. Did Virginia come out and shoot 4 for 22 from the field? Yes, that happens. You know, they had the injury to DeAndre Hunter. That happens. For UMBC to score like that against the best half-court defensive team in the country,
it's crazy.
A team that dominated the ACC, I think we'll be talking about that one for a while.
And I'll tell you what, that jumped out to me too was Syracuse beat Michigan State. That I did not.
But that could happen. That zone makes
people
uncomfortable.
And they're big. Cuse is big. They're long. Yeah. That could happen. But still, I just thought Michigan State. That's why I picked them to win the whole.
Well, you get 20 offensive. You're Michigan State. You get 20 offensive rebounds. I mean, could we break 60 points? Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day. But I remember from my 3 years being an assistant in the Big East. All right, you have a zone offense. You have a game plan. We're going to simulate this zone. You put your walk-ons out there. All right, guys, get into the 2-3 zone. This is how Syracuse plays it. We're going to run the baseline. We're going to flash the high post. And then all of a sudden you get out there on the floor, and these guys are looking at each other like, holy crap, because it's like 5 fluorescent orange trees that are out there, you know, with this wingspan and AB. Well, it looks completely different.
It's like dinosaurs.
The zone that Duke's playing now is not the Syracuse zone,
right?
But again, in Brooklyn, I'm sitting courtside, and they're near the end of the baseline, so I'm looking back the other way, almost like you'd look as you're bringing the ball up the floor,
right?
And there's just when they've got Wendell Clark, and they had Bagley on the outside, and then Allen, and
how scary is when Bagley's on the wing spot?
And you just there's literally not an opening. There's just legs and arms and hair and tall.
Just how do you move the ball?
You know what
the fascinating thing about that matchup is as Syracuse and Duke get ready to hook up, Coach K was the biggest diehard man-to-man guy in the world.
Mm.
The only reason why he came along to zone was all these years now, him and Boeheim have been hanging out with USA basketball in the Olympics, having dinner, you know, salt and pepper shakers, you know, at
he's
the table.
In on his own.
And he's and he's now like accepted it. But you know, Boeheim is unique because it's his primary defense. Most coaches, team hits a few threes, get out of it, let's get back to man-to-man.
Yeah.
Boeheim likes when you make a couple of threes early
because
he's got it charted over the years. You're probably going to just launch for the rest of the first half, and he'll play the numbers.
It's got to be.
Do we know where that came from, like what the impetus? Because most people are man-to-man, and they almost sometimes people like hate the zone. They think it's like a cop-out defense, and sometimes when you play it, it's because you don't have the horses, you don't have enough guys, you need to protect things. Where did he fall in love with the zone?
You know, he played a lot of zone in the 80s during the Sherman Douglas, Derek Coleman, Ronnie Cicely years. As he got into the 90s, if you remember, they went through, in the mid-90s, they went through a little bit of a rut there before they got
Post
it back.
Lawrence
Moten. Right, before they got that run back in the late 90s and they went to the 1996 championship game. And he saw how much that it took teams out of their stuff.
Yeah.
And think about it. Most teams, if they have 25 plays in a playbook, they have 22 man-to-man sets. They have 3 zone offenses.
Sure. Yeah.
You just took away 97% of their playbook.
<luck. laughs>
You keep guys out of foul trouble. But I think it changed when Mike Hopkins, AB, started recruiting to it. Mm. It's one thing to play it. It's another thing to recruit to it, and that's where the length. You could prepare. It's easy to prepare for. You can't simulate. And a great analogy I just heard the other day from my friend Fran Fraschilli. He said it's like Mariano Rivera's cutter. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. Yeah, yeah. And then you get on the floor and you're just like, ah, oh, this is good. It's amazing how uncomfortable it makes teams look.
Yeah, it's like to a different, even our business now, like the business you're in now, Vin, right? TV, radio, whatever. Once the red light's on, right? You could rehearse. Right. You could do this.
No, you got
to
be able.
You got to be able to bring it. Vin Parisi's nice enough to join us, college basketball analyst in studio here with us, Fox Sports, SNY Sports, and also give Vin a follow on Twitter. This is your real Twitter, right, Vin? At Vin Parisi.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, that's the real one.
I just for your follow, bro. You know what I mean?
I can't. No, yeah. You know, I'm not lucky. One day I'll have a fake one. Yes. I hope someone starts it.
It's VinParise. That's right. So Sweet 16, Vin. Everybody's we want to know. Who's your Sweet 16? Who do you got moving on?
I'll tell you. Well, you look up in the East, and if it was any other matchup, I would pick West Virginia to advance because Javon Carter's averaging 24 in the tournament. And I think that Bob Huggins, the pressure of the Mountaineers playing you for 40 minutes, 94 feet, just is impossible to simulate. Almost back to our theory that we talked about with the Syracuse zone before. But Villanova is a team that could handle it. Jay Wright's team is the most well-balanced offensive team left in this tournament. Nobody was more flawless. I thought Alabama was a good team. They wiped the floor with them. Oof. Half court defensively, I think Nova advances there against West Virginia. I think Texas Tech gets past Purdue. I think the Haas injury changes things.
Yeah.
And listen, I love the Carters. I love what Purdue and the Boilermakers are able to do offensively. I just think the way Texas Tech rebounds the basketball, here's the thing about the Haas injury. It's not so much about block shots, post defense, and rebounding. It's about clogging the lane, and it's about opening up driving lanes. And you see the way Texas Tech's able to slash, get on the offensive glass. I think that winds up being the issue. I think when you go down to the Midwest, this is going to be a closer game than people think. Clemson has been locked down defense, and they're scoring
they
60% on twos.
In the paint. It's like unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Listen, watch with Kansas because Kansas will advance here, but I think Kansas just needs to get at full strength. And listen, not to take anything away from Seton Hall, but Devontae Graham had 7 points and Asabuki was out of the game for the last 7 or 8 minutes, and they were still able to survive. And then I have Duke getting past Syracuse there to complete that right side of the bracket.
A question on that. I feel like, we talked earlier about Cuse. We talked yesterday, too, Moose and I did, about how Cuse is very long. And we discussed that at length. Thanks to you, Vin. You're giving us a lot of in-depth on that. But, I mean, Duke's big, too. Duke's a long team.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you think that they could,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the end that I think is going to be the factor. I think Syracuse's zone will look good. I think Duke. By the way, all the guys are going to score below their averages. Because here's the thing. They're going to shade to Grayson Allen's side in the zone.
Of course, yeah.
Just because they're in a zone doesn't mean they don't scout. They all know shooter, non-shooter on the wing. I think the issue is going to be is Boeheim's guys scoring against that zone.
Ah.
And like AB talked about before when Bagley's in the wing spot. And I just don't think they have enough perimeter shooting. This has been an offensive depleted orange team the entire year. And I think that's going to be a tough matchup for them.
Okay.
Does Syracuse being in this spot, does that change in your mind the argument about whether they should have been in the first place? Or is it what you do in the tournament doesn't change your resume before selection Sunday?
Yeah, I think they're definitely making the committee look good. I still think there's an argument for them to not have been in. I mean, they didn't have any big non-conference wins. They finished 8-10, in the ACC. But listen, they're making the committee look good. That being said, I don't care what anybody says. You get in as an 11 seed and you're Syracuse, you're not the 68th best team in the field. I mean, there's plenty of 15 and 16 seeds out there.
Yeah, but they busted my bracket. That's what stinks. All right, so we're going to go towards the West here. We got Florida State, Gonzaga. We got Michigan, Texas A&M. Take it away, Vin.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a tough game for the Zags. If you want to pick an upset here, I don't think you're crazy picking Florida State. I'm going to stay with the Zags only because Mark Few is such balanced scoring. Six guys average between 9 and 15 per game.
It's all I got left in. No yeah, upsets and, here.
You know, boy, Tillian, I mean, he didn't even have to go off. Norvell, I mean, they're not known for one-and-done guys. Norvell, the way he played as a freshman. But I think the length of Florida State can bother people. We saw that with Xavier. We saw what Leonard Hamilton's defense did to Travion Blewett. I think down low, Andy Kennedy's team was limping into this tournament until they got rolling towards the end. And Michigan, obviously, with that heroic shot against Houston, lucky to sneak by. But you do not want to give John Beilein 5 days to prepare for you. Mm. And I think you give the edge to the Wolverines there. So I got the Wolverines and the Zags squaring off in the West.
And they got some momentum, right? The Michigan, yeah. Think about it, right? What happened there. So now we shift up, but really down, because South is down. So we're not going up, Vin. We're really going down.
Right.
We're going down South. Of course, we're up North now. Not to confuse you, South.
Well,
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. Follow the roadmap. Okay?
I think Alexander and Calipari's Cats, along with Kevin Knox, are playing terrific. They're scoring it. Like we said, they're settling down. But more importantly, you know, John Calipari is the best recruiter in college basketball. He doesn't get enough credit for coaching.
Sorry to interrupt you, Vin, but I have to say this. My son's a college athlete. He's not a basketball player, but if I had to pick a coach, like, I'd want him to play for this guy. I don't know this guy, Cal, from a hole in the wall. Like, personally, I'd love to play for this guy.
He gets kids to have fun and play hard at the same time, which is hard. A lot of times when kids think they're running through a wall for you, you know, they don't think it's fun. He gets them to play hard. He gets them to play fun. I think they're going to be too much on the boards for Kansas State. I think that defensively they're going to take him out of stuff. Cal's got guys playing with a high level. I think the Cats advance. Like we said before, I think the floodgates opened up. Everything opened up in the South for them.
Yeah.
Loyola, Chicago, great run. I think Nevada's guards get past it because of the show that these kids put on. Whether you want to talk about the Martins, whether you want to talk about Jordan Caroline, I think their perimeter shooting, not turning the basketball over, they get past Loyola, Chicago. And then, listen, the way those guards are playing right now, could Nevada beat Kentucky? Yes. But I'm going to go – I like to go with length and athleticism bothering shooters, and I think Cal's guys, if they get past that one against Kansas State, get to the Final Four and annoy the Nevada guards.
See what I did here, AB. I got all of Vin's between you and me, all of Vin Parisi's, all his picks, and I made a note.
Oh, don't do that. Did you see the first round? God. I mean, it was a disaster. I ripped up the bracket and started over Sunday night. I want to blow my brains out.
Trust you.
But you're right. I mean, tell you right now.
Yeah.
We've started fresh, but you're right.
I believe in you, Vin. I'm with you. I'm putting you over. I believe. So we got Vin right here. Vin Parisi saying he's got Nova, Texas Tech advancing. He's got Kansas, Duke advancing. He's got the Zags and Michigan advancing and Kentucky and Nevada advancing. What's the championship game? Let's jump ahead to the Final Four, past the Final Four, right past it. What's the championship
game? I'm going to go Jay Wright against John Beilein and the Michigan Wolverines.
Wow.
And I can't go against the Big East. I think that Villanova is primed here.
Michigan going all the way.
Yeah, I think we could keep rolling. I think we go with it. And I think it's a great championship game. Once again, I don't think anybody should be shocked with Omaha, Nebraska out there if the Kansas Jayhawks advance. But AB, you know I'm a Big East guy.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You're an Atlantic.
You're an
Atlantic 10 guy.
Which is my next question. The fact that Dan Hurley hasn't run to UConn yet, or even to Pitt.
Well,
what does that say about?
Well, here's what happened. Pitt, first thing Monday morning, Pitt and UConn both reached out.
Right.
Personally, I feel that Dan Hurley is going to be the next head basketball coach at the University of Connecticut. Mm. I think it makes the most sense. It's 55 miles from Kingston, Rhode Island. Yeah. Dan's shown over the years that he doesn't like to go far. You know, like Wagner from St. Benedict's in New Jersey was not a major move distance-wise. You know, Dan's a family guy.
Of course, Wagner, for those that don't know, it's in Staten Island, New York, which is near New Jersey.
Near New Jersey. Right. And Wagner to Rhode Island was not a drastic move.
Right.
Not saying that Pitt's far away, but I think there's been a lot of talk and there's been a lot of rumors the last couple of years and into the future that football may eventually go independent down the line. Mm. I don't think the Big East is going to stay at 10 teams forever. I think that UConn would be at the top of the list if they were to add a team down the line. It's Northeast. It's New England recruiting ties. UConn's still a national brand. Granted, right now they're struggling to get fans to go to Hartford, Connecticut to watch East Carolina versus Tulane. But when you're stagnant, you know what you need? You need a bulldog recruiter and coach, and Dan Hurley could get that thing rolling.
He'll bring them in. He'll bring in those legit, you know, high school guys.
And he could
guys.
Coach.
Yeah, he could coach. Yeah, he could coach. He's credible. I mean,
get him out of the A-10.
Yeah, that's
take all that talent with it.
I'm looking at the Fordham sticker on your laptop right now.
Yeah, there it is. Right. I'm good. That's all I got. They got me. I might be their best point guard at the moment.
Do you regret the move from the MAC? If you could go back, if you could go back 20 years. Now I know I'm an Iona College grad, and I know Fordham's an elite institution. But what's wrong with 20 years of success in the MAC at the mid-major level?
I got there. I think it was the second year of them being in the Atlantic 10. So yeah, I mean, but I am a believer that they can be successful in the conference in the Atlantic 10.
Oh, you can. You don't have,
but they're not.
It's just, no, they're not. He's right. He's right. Well, Vin, look, man, we appreciate you coming in the studio here. You're going to come back again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is fun.
First time you and I met, we obviously get along great.
Yeah.
Okay, so that just goes.
And you like coffee?
I mean, I love any kind of liquid. I got hydration. I got water. I got phones.
I love liquid, too.
I know. We gave you little Dixie cups of water. Next time we'll bring a bottle. I'll purchase the bottle myself.
I don't drink bottled water.
No, I'm going to give you a bottle. I'm going to get you on a
bottle. Spitz is the best. I love Spitz.
Oh, really? You're the guy. Okay, good.
He's the best.
So, got it. All right, look. So, Vin, give Vin Parisi a follow on Twitter at Vin Parisi, VinParise.
Ian, like Zach Parise.
Exactly.
The hockey player.
I got it, Vin. All right, so listen, we appreciate you coming in here, bro.
Do you think he goes like Vin, the college basketball analyst?
Well, he's the man. Are you kidding me? I love this guy already. I just met him.
I think it's a bad Twitter handle. Should I change it?
No.
I'm just wondering if Zach Parise leans on you.
No.
As a reference point.
No, I know for a fact he doesn't.
Right.
All right, on that note, Vin, look, thanks for joining us as you're guzzling coffee left and right. We appreciate you being there, brother. You know what I mean? You're the man.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.